That first reading is about the covenant between God and Abraham. And just note that Abraham is the third one down in the old covenants. And of course, in the center, we have the new covenant in Christ. God is always covenanting with God's people, trying to establish relationship. Salvation is about relationship with one another and with God. And so Abraham is encouraged to leave his homeland and wander fairly aimlessly for the rest of his life, to be given eventually a homeland of his own, which was going to be Israel. And so his life, Abraham, the latter half of his life is marked by this journey, this pilgrimage, you might say, to the promised land. And later, Moses, the last one of our Old Testament covenants, he's going to lead the people out of Egypt, and they're going to wander for the rest of their lives, 40 years in the wilderness, before they get delivered into the promised land. And so throughout the Old Testament, there's this kind of glorification of the land of Israel, that they would not be subjugated by another people, that they would not be slaves somewhere else, aliens in a foreign land, but they would have a land of their own. And that's totally understandable in human terms, why that was so important to them. But in Christ, there is revealed a further truth about this, that it isn't about a land in this world. It isn't about your nationality, your homeland. It's more universal than that. It's really about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God isn't a nation or a race of people. It's the whole world called into ultimate relationship with God, to be glorified with Him. And so one of the things that characterizes the Christian life is this lifelong pilgrimage, this journey. And we have that symbolized in the church by this pathway that goes from the parking lot all the way through the font to the altar. It symbolizes this lifelong journey, pilgrimage, that we are on to the promised land, which isn't a land in this life, but it's the kingdom of God. The second thing to note here is the transfiguration is the gospel for the second Sunday of Lent in all 3 years of the liturgical cycle. So the church obviously finds this important. It was decided in the fourth century that this would be the gospel for the second Sunday of Lent. This is an ancient tradition. And it had to do with the establishment of the catechumenate. This gospel was given to the catechumens as they're on their final journey, Lent, to the Easter sacraments. And it's to encourage them as they are making their exodus, as they are leaving, preparing to leave the world, to leave their former way of life, just like Abraham left the land of Ur. They're leaving behind sin and death, and they're rising to new life in Christ. Now, Jesus is transfigured, and He takes up to the mountain, and mountains are places of theophany. They're places where people meet God, at least biblically speaking. Moses met God on Mount Sinai. Elijah met God on Mount Sinai. Jesus has this transfiguration, prayerful moment on Mount Tabor. And then Jesus is going to fulfill His exodus on another mountain, the mountain of Jerusalem. And so here He is on this mountain, and in deep prayer He gets transfigured. His face becomes dazzlingly white, and His clothes are white as snow. And Moses and Elijah appear conversing with Him. And what are they talking about with Him? they're talking about his exodus that he is going to accomplish in Jerusalem. He's on one mountain, and they're talking about the exodus that he's going to accomplish on another mountain, the mountain on which Jerusalem is built. But it's not about Jerusalem so much as about his exodus, his Passover. You know, the English translation in our Bible is exodus for this Greek word, but it sometimes is called passage, and sometimes it's called Passover. And these catechumens and candidates are journeying toward the paschal sacraments, baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, which is accomplished on this mountain, the altar of Christ. So Jesus is transfigured, and Peter says, oh, this is a wonderful moment. Let me build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. The tent idea has to do with, let's make this a permanent experience, which, of course, we know is impossible. But I think even deeper than that, the reason it all dissipates as soon as Peter says that is because this really isn't just about Jesus' transfiguration, it's about Peter's. And Peter stands for the church. He stands for all of us. This is about our transfiguration. You see, Jesus is so in union with the Father that at prayerful moments like this, his humanity sort of subsides and we see nothing but his divinity. But that's also true for you and me, because we are created in the image of God. Therefore, divinity is within us. And the only reason it doesn't shine through us all the time is because of our sin. So we humans, we're kind of conflicted beings. In one sense, we're drawn backward to Adam, to sinful Adam. But in another sense, we're drawn forward in this longing and in this hope toward the new Adam, Christ, and the kingdom of God. So in our best, most graced moments, the divinity in us shines forth more than our humanity. And that's when people are drawn to faith because of our witness. Sometimes we're aware of it and sometimes we're not. But when we are at our best, most graced moments, our divinity shines through more than our humanity. In our darker moments, our humanity shines forth more. So Lent, which really is symbolic of our whole life, but let's just talk about Lent. It's about zeroing in on this journey, zeroing in on the hills and valleys of it, the bright moments and the dark moments, the struggle that we have with the spiritual life that is just real. It's just who we are. And so not to get discouraged, Jesus gives us the transfiguration. First, he predicts his passion, that he's going to have to suffer and die and rise on the third day. And of course, his disciples just don't want to hear that. They push it away. Peter says, oh, we won't let them do that to you. And Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Don't be a stumbling block for me as I am trying to accomplish my exodus. But then he says to his disciples, and you too must take up your cross and follow me. In other words, your transfiguration, the accomplishment of your exodus, has to come through suffering and death. But don't get discouraged, because it ends in glory. It ends in eternal relationship with God.